Jerry, I don't know what his problems with, like a lot of people, the terminology two sendings. I think he's missing the point, and he may just be what's another word for jealous? Not quite as strong. That he didn't come up with it. But as far as what Jerry does believe, he believes that Israel fell when Jesus Christ was crucified, and I think Mike covered that pretty well. He also thinks that Paul immediately preached to Gentiles, dirty dog Gentiles, because in Acts chapter 9, this is in Jerusalem, Paul, he gets rolling. First he goes to Damascus and he gets preaches the gospel of God, as far as we can tell. That's all he preached there. And he's let down the side of the wall in the basket and goes down to Jerusalem. And he's down there and he's preaching. He's coming in and out of Jerusalem. So he's in Jerusalem. And this is where I think Jerry gets it. And Paul, Saul of Tarsus, both spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. That's where he gets that Grecians are Gentiles. He thinks Paul was preaching to Gentiles, and I don't think that's true either. And if you go back to the first mention of Grecian in the Bible, that's all the way back there in Joel chapter 3, verse 6, and the children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem. This is after the big split, the northern tribes and the southern tribes, so on and so forth. The children of Israel were scattered abroad. And who's to say that these Grecians, that the children of Jerusalem and Judah were sold to, weren't other Jews? I mean, you can't say they're Jews, you can't say they're Gentiles, simply by reading that verse in the context of Joel 3:6. So that's another faulty premise. I believe they were in exile. Yeah, they were Jews in exile. They could have been Grecian Jews. It doesn't say either way, but there was all types of people there in Acts chapter 2. Gentiles from all over Jews from all over the then known world. It doesn't mention Grecia specifically, but again, I think Mike covered this well when he went to Acts chapter 11 and covered that section. Acts chapter 7 is a huge pivot point in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a historical record of the transition from God dealing with humanity through the nation of Israel to up until God is no longer dealing with humanity through the nation of Israel. It's a historical record. It does contain doctrine. It does contain correction and things like that. A lot of things happened in Acts chapter 7. Number one, it was the end of the acceptable year of the Lord. I think Mike covered that good enough. It was the events of Acts chapter 7 occurred at Pentecost 1 year after the Pentecost recorded in Acts chapter 2. That's what I believe. That's what I see. I'm not going to go to Acts chapter 7 and look at the verses that lead me to believe that, but the city was chock full of Jews again, just like in Acts chapter 2. And so Stephen was preaching to the council and to a city full of Jews. And so what did happen? Number one, the end of the acceptable year of the Lord. When according to the 70 weeks of Daniel, the 70th week of Daniel should have started immediately after the crucifixion of Christ. It did not. So there was, and there's a prophecy about the acceptable year of the Lord. Number two, the so-called unpardonable sin. Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. Now let's read these verses and read them carefully. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. And whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. In Acts chapter 7, is when the so-called, when this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit occurred. It's when Israel, who Jesus of Nazareth is speaking to there in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 and 32, his earthly ministry was to the nation of Israel. Let me summarize first before I put the verses on the screen. It's kind of like a baseball game. There's three strikes, right? The Godhead is made up of three: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The nation of Israel blasphemed or spoke against, actions speak louder than words, the Old Testament Hebrew prophets. They blasphemed against the Holy God, God the Father, in the Old Testament when they persecuted and murdered the Old Testament Hebrew prophets. They blasphemed against God the Son when they murdered their Messiah, Jesus Christ. And they blasphemed against the Holy Ghost here in Acts chapter 7. They committed the unpardonable sin, Matthew 12, 31 and 32, when they stoned or killed Holy Ghost-filled Stephen. Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. Something that I should mention, and I believe Jerry Lockhart teaches this. I think I first heard it from him. There was the ministry of the Old Testament Hebrew prophets, right? All of those books of prophecy, Isaiah, Jeremiah, David in the book of Psalms, all those Daniel the prophet, Hosea, the major prophets, the minor prophets, that was the ministry of God the Father. Then there was the ministry of God the Son, the 3 years, give or take, that Jesus of Nazareth preached to the nation of Israel. And then in Acts chapter 2, when Jesus, the risen, ascended, glorified Jesus Christ, baptized the 12 apostles with the Holy Ghost power in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that was the promised, prophesied comforter that came. So thus began the ministry of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. And so Stephen, if you read the context, starting in Acts chapter 6, he was preaching, the Holy Ghost was preaching through Stephen in Acts chapter 7. And when he gets to verse 51, so it was the Holy Ghost that was preaching. It was the ministry of the Holy Ghost. It was the ministry of the Holy Ghost that was blasphemed in Acts chapter 7. Stephen, the Holy Ghost speaking through Stephen, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Here you go, verse 52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before the coming of the Just One, capital letters, Jesus Christ, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. So there Stephen just outlines strike one and strike two. And then the leadership of Israel is there, the council is there, the elders and high priests are there, and so That's the second thing that happened in Acts chapter 7. Number one, it was the end of the acceptable year of the Lord. Number two, Israel committed the unpardonable sin and blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And number three, and Jerry mentioned these verses, the kingdom was taken from the chief priests and elders. Go back to Matthew chapter 21 here. This is the context. I want to make sure you see who Jesus Christ is speaking to when he makes this prophecy. And when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority?" And then the context continues on down here to verse 43. So when we see in verse 43, "Therefore I say unto you," we know who Jesus of Nazareth is talking about. We know who Jesus of Nazareth is prophesying about, the chief priests and elders of the people, right? "Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you," the chief priests and elders of the people, "and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." So this is the third thing that happened in Acts chapter 7. These chief priests and elders committed the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, and the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the promise of the kingdom of heaven was taken from them and given to a nation that would bring forth the fruits thereof. That would be a reference to the little flock of kingdom saints. That would be believing Israel, as Paul calls them. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure," God the Father's good pleasure, "to give you the kingdom." So that's the third thing that happened in Acts chapter 7 with the stoning of Holy Ghost-filled Stephen. The kingdom was taken from unbelieving Israel and given to believing Israel. What did not happen in Acts chapter 7? Oh, the fourth thing that happened, Israel fell. They stumbled. Israel stumbled, and I was looking for the verses. They stumbled at the stumbling stone. Maybe Mike covered this, or he can cover it again. But that was prophesied. When they crucified Jesus Christ, Israel as a nation stumbled. But we know that in Acts chapter 2, they didn't fall, because the kingdom was still being offered. That's Paul writing about it. I think Jesus Christ himself during his earthly ministry also makes a reference to either the stumbling stone, and also in the Old Testament, I think it's either Isaiah or Jeremiah, there's a reference to it. He is the rock, that was prophesied. But, you know, the kingdom was not at that time taken from unbelieving Israel, the chief priests and elders, because that's who Peter was preaching to in Acts chapter 2. The kingdom was still being offered to all of Israel in Acts chapter 2. So they had not yet fallen. So that would be the fourth thing that happened in Acts chapter 7. Israel fell. They stumbled at the cross. They stumbled at the stumbling stone. And when they crucified their prophesied Messiah, they blasphemed against God the Son, which in Matthew 12:32, Jesus Christ said it would be forgiven. "You can speak a word, you can kill the Son of Man, and it shall be forgiven them, but not the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost." So that's what happened when they crucified Jesus Christ. They blasphemed against the ministry of God the Son. Strike three in Acts chapter 7, they blasphemed against the ministry of the Holy Ghost. So now, what did not happen in Acts chapter 7? The Israel was, although Israel fell and the kingdom was taken from unbelieving Israel and given to believing Israel, or the little flock, Peter, James, John, the 12 apostles, and all of their disciples, the church which was at Jerusalem, the church of God, however you want to refer to them. What did not end is their ministry. They became, even though they had stumbled and they had fallen, their ministry was still alive and well to that remnant that Jerry was talking about. They were still preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and people were still believing the gospel of the kingdom. And I think Mike covered that pretty well in Acts chapter 11. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, the Holy, the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, the kingdom being taken from unbelieving Israel and given to believing Israel, traveled as far as all those places, to include Antioch. And here's the key: preaching the word to none but unto Jews only. So they can, their evangelical, if I said that right, ministry continued. There were still members of the church that started, that was added to in Acts chapter 2, continued to be added to after Acts chapter 7. So their church ministry did not end in Acts chapter 7, like so many teach and believe. And I'll just keep reading here, because it's the same thing that Mike covered, but we're talking about a different subject. And some of them were men of Cyprus. Okay, so there's the people that were scattered abroad upon the persecution, okay, that arose about Stephen, continued to preach the word to none but unto Jews only. And some of them, some of these Jews, some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. So some of those that were scattered abroad were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. Because remember in Acts chapter 2, there were men out of every nation under heaven. And then it goes on to name, where they were from. And I'm not going to go there, but they heard them in their own tongue. Here's an example right here where they're listing all these nations, right? And so some of them that were scattered abroad were men from Cyprus, of Cyprus and Cyrene. And when they came to Antioch, which is up there in Syria, they spake unto the Grecians. Okay? Now, they're preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And they were preaching to the Grecians. So what does that tell you? That tells you that the Grecians, in that context right there, are Jews. Because they're preaching the word. Like Jerry said, I guarantee you I'm right. I guarantee you I'm right. Because all you got to do is read the words on the page right there, those two verses. So they're preaching to Grecians. That means those Grecians are Jews. They're not Gentiles. And preaching the word to none but unto Jews only. And some of them that were scattered abroad and were preaching the word to none but unto Jews only were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they, the same people I just identified, were come to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians that were there in Antioch. The Grecians are Jews that are in Antioch that are from Greece. The scattering. The nation of Israel was scattered all over the then known world. So what does that tell you? That tells you that there at Antioch, that was a little flock church, because they you know, they went up there and they preached, and then Barnabas went up there, you know, they heard about it, and contrary to what Mike might even believe, I believe that when it goes on to talk about they were first called Christians there in Antioch, and that was after Paul came on the scene. I don't believe Paul preached the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation, in Antioch of Syria, there that where we're talking about, in Acts chapter 11. So when the Bible says they were called Christians first, which is exactly why I don't believe that he did, Mike. Just because we see the word grace in the Bible doesn't always mean the gospel of the grace of God. And every time we see the word grace in conjunction with the ministry of the Apostle Paul, it doesn't mean the gospel of the grace of God. And so whenever we see the word preach used in conjunction with Paul, it doesn't mean that he preached the gospel of salvation. He didn't preach Paul's My Gospel. So I don't believe that members of the Church, the Body of Christ, are officially, technically known as Christians. I'm saved, I'm sealed, I'm on my way to heaven, but I'm not a Christian, because I believe Christians are kingdom saints. But anyway, that was a rabbit trail. What else did not happen in Acts chapter 7 with the stoning of St. Stephen, Holy Ghost-filled Stephen? The ministry of the Holy Ghost did not end at that time, because we see evidence of the Holy Ghost power with Philip when he goes out to Samaria. And so the ministry of the 12, they continued to evangelize, and the ministry of the Holy Ghost continued on. And I believe that we can tell from reading Paul's epistles, as well as reading Peter's epistles, which I believe were written, I'm not going to go there. But as late as Acts chapter 21, what verse do I want? This is Paul, his final trip into Jerusalem. He comes to Jerusalem, and the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. Now that would be James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, because James, the brother of John, James the apostle, one of the 12 apostles, was killed by the sword in Acts chapter 12. So this is a reference to James, who is also an apostle. Paul calls him an apostle. He's not a false apostle, as many claim, the half-brother of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people out there that teach that he was a false apostle because of his tainted bloodline. I won't go any further with that. But Paul acknowledges James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, as being an apostle, and that's good enough for me. So this is James, and all the elders were present. The elders, Peter identifies himself as an elder. So Peter was there. John, the writer of the three letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the writer of the book of Revelation, he was there. All the elders were present. All the elders were present. And verse 19, and when he, Paul, had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had worked among the Gentiles by his ministry. And then their answer to him is, hey, we can brag too. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. So, and you can go on and read if you want, that they are all informed of thee, and that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses. So they know what Paul's ministry to Jews out there that are among the Gentiles, out there in Corinth, out there in Ephesus, out there in Philippi, that they can be saved, like Mike was showing you earlier, I think. Acts chapter, what book am I in? Acts chapter 13. God, this, you know, they can be justified from all things, which could not be justified by the law of Moses. And I guess I should put verse 38. Okay, good night, Gordon. I'm finished. That's all I wanted to say. So Acts chapter 7 was a huge, huge pivot point in the historical record of transition. Several very important things happened, and one, it was the end of the acceptable year of, all these things that happened in Acts chapter 7 have to do with the nation of Israel. They're huge pivot points on the decline of Israel in that book of transition. One, the acceptable year of the Lord came and went. And two, the unbelieving Israel, Hi Gracie, national Israel committed the so-called unpardonable sin. They striped the three. They blasphemed the ministry of the Holy Ghost, and the kingdom was taken from unbelieving Israel, the chief priests and elders, and all of them, and the council. And was given to the little flock. What did not happen is that believing Israel's ministry did not end, so they became diminished. That means they were not yet cast away. A remnant of believing Israel continued. They continued their ministry of evangelizing, and the church was continued to be added to. And that was through the ministry of the Holy Ghost. So that's that.